One of the most wonderful events in all of the Bible is the account of Jesus' return to heaven from the earth. We are told that His apostles were standing around Him before He ascended back into heaven, and they asked Him, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel?" The comings and goings of Jesus have created questions in the minds of many men, such was the case with the apostles. But it is also the case that oftentimes we ask the wrong question. They did so on this occasion. They asked a question that was in their mind, but it was not the right question for the occasion. What question should we ask regarding Jesus' return? Will we ask the right question? I hope so. We're going to explore that very question. The right question
is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you, Jim. We thank all of you for joining us today. It is certainly our privilege to study God's Word together with you. Nothing brings us greater joy than that one thing, being able to study together to know what we should do in order to please God. We hope that if you don't already make it a normal practice of joining us for this study, that you will do so. If you are with us regularly, you know that we are today completing a study of what I believe is one of the most comforting subjects in all of the Bible. In John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, "I will come again." And while it is true that we as the servants of Christ are here on this earth without the benefit of having our Lord near us, we know that He will come again, that He is there, that He is at hand, that He is available to us if we but reach out to Him in obedience to His will and do as He requires. Now, as we said in our opening comments, there are many questions that come to mind regarding the second coming of Christ. But I want to be sure that we are asking the right question. I fear that all too often, in looking at this very important topic, we ask the wrong question. In fact, if you were to bring up the topic of the second coming of Christ to 100 different people, it would be my guess that most of those 100 people, if they could ask one question regarding the second coming of Christ, the question would be, when is He coming back? When is Jesus going to return? But is that the most important question that we should ask? It's my contention that it's not. Not only is that not only not the most important question, I don't believe that that's an appropriate question at all. And let me explain why. Men have for many years tried to set a date to mark on the calendar the return of Christ. In fact, there have been many thousands of books sold because someone has gone on television or the radio and has convinced thousands of people that he had some special gift of prophecy and interpretation, that he is able to look into God's Word and see something that you and I cannot see, or that God speaks to him directly and doesn't do so for us, and therefore he knows when Jesus is coming back. Now, that's not new. In fact, in America, there have been many people since the mid-1800s who have established dates, who have put on the calendar, this is the day that the Lord will return. But in every case, they have been wrong. Men try to set that date, but they do so in vain. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, referring to His second coming, the end of time, Jesus said, "Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but My Father only." Jesus was trying to tell us that all of our attempts to set a date for His return would be empty. They would be futile. There's no way that we can know this, for we are not, hear me very carefully, we are not given a series of signs that tell us when Jesus is going to return. And those who teach that we are teaching a false doctrine, for it does not come from God's Word. They have proven themselves false over the years by setting dates and by pointing to certain things as being critical events. In every case, it has proven to be wrong. These men are not teaching us the truth. Therefore, we should reject them. The Bible rather tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 1, "Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say safety and peace, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now this tells us that for all of our efforts, all the efforts of mankind to establish a date, we cannot know when Jesus is going to return. Only that He will return suddenly when He is not expected. Now, men oftentimes try to take the signs of Matthew chapter 24 and apply those to the second coming of Christ. In fact, I'm sure a minute ago when I said that there are no signs in the Bible that point to when Jesus will return, that many of you immediately in your mind thought of five or six different events that the Bible does use as a sign that points to His return. Well, if that's the case, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 24, for that's where you will find those signs that you so often look to as markers of Christ's return. But that is not a proper application of that passage. If we read Matthew chapter 24 very carefully, we see that the first 35 verses of that chapter are not talking about when Jesus is going to return, but rather it's talking about when the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed by the Roman army. There are signs of that destruction. There were warning signs that were given to Christians in that first century so that they would know that the Roman army was coming and Jerusalem would be besieged. But to take those signs and apply them to the second coming of Christ is not right. In fact, in Matthew 24 and verse 34, of all the things that Jesus had said in that chapter leading up to that verse, He says, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." Now, Jesus was telling us right then that all of those signs that He had given in those first 33 verses were to apply to the generation to whom He was at that time speaking. Those people are all dead. All of those things have taken place. They have all come to pass, and they all came to pass in the time frame that Jesus gave for them. These were markers, warning signs given to Christians to let them know when the Roman army would come and take the city of Jerusalem. They are not signs that point to the end of time. Jesus answers the end of time question, but you remember, He answered it in verse 36 of Matthew 24. "Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only." We should be satisfied with that answer. We should not be asking the question, when is He coming back? That is not the most important question regarding the return of Christ. Rather, the most important question, the one that we need to be asking, is, am I ready for Jesus to come back? Since He's going to come as a thief in the night, He's going to come when He's not expected, I should be ready for Him. Notice 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved," He's just referred to the fact that the earth would be destroyed when Jesus returns. "Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" That's the question we need to ask. Not when is it going to occur, but am I ready for it to occur? The answer to the question as to what kind of people we should be is very clear. We should be holy people. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, Peter says, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We should be holy people before God. Peter further answers that we should be obedient people. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. "Since you have purified your souls," how? "In obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible." How? "Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." We should be holy people. We should be obedient people. We should be people abiding in the grace of God. 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 5, says, "For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. We should add those Christian graces, as we sometimes call them. That's the kind of people we should be. We should add those to our life. What will happen if we do? 2 Peter 1, verse 10 says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied for you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." What question should we ask? It should be, "Am I ready?" That's the question that I ask you today. Are you ready for Jesus to return? For He is coming back, as the Bible clearly teaches. When He returns, the dead will be raised, the living will be changed, the earth will be destroyed, and all mankind will stand before God as judge and be judged and assigned an eternal destiny based on our actions here. The question we must ask then is, am I ready? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Without faith, you can't please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Will you repent of your sins and turn to Christ? If not, you'll perish. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Will you confess Christ before men? If not, He'll not confess you before the Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. And will you be baptized in water to wash away your sins? Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. If you will do these things, then you can be ready for His return. But don't be stubborn. Don't stumble and hold back from doing what God commands us to do. Rather, be obedient to Him. Be holy people, adding these Christian graces to your life. In just a moment, I'll return.
Truth for the World offers a free, non-denominational Bible correspondence course. It's based strictly upon the Bible and the Bible alone, not the creeds or traditions of men. Write for this free course today. Here's our mailing address: Truth for the World, P.O. Box 751-135, Memphis, Tennessee 38175. That's Truth for the World, P.O. Box 751-135, Memphis, Tennessee 38175. And now once again, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We hope that you will write to us and enroll in the Bible correspondence courses. It's a great way to continue your study and increase your knowledge of God's Word. We also hope after this series of lessons that you will find tremendous comfort in that phrase, "I will come again." And our prayer is with you that you will study God's Word, learn what He wants you to do, and obey it out of a willing heart, that you may be prepared for that coming.